I'm Mr. Marvel, and it's my job to catch you up on all the things going on in the MCU. So settle in, and let's not waste another minute. That's right, you know what that intro music means. It is time for episode 4.1. Today we are going to be breaking down Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. But before we do, I want to say that this movie is absolutely incredible, and it left me wanting a sequel or even a spinoff. I also want to say thank you, Marvel, for finally giving us an Asian lead and superhero. I mean, it only took you 25 movies to do this, but what a milestone movie for the Asian representation this is. Now, this movie did come out almost 6 months ago, so if you have not watched it yet, these really are not spoilers, and I am sorry if I spoil something for you. I was super excited that this movie finally introduced us to the Ten Rings. The real Ten Rings. I mean, they were technically introduced or teased back in Iron Man 3. And we'll get to that later on in this episode, but it really starts off with Wen Yu's search for Tao Lo, and that took place, I think, around 96, maybe a little bit earlier. My biggest question here, are the inhabitants of Tao Lo magical? Are they alien? I mean, it really leaves a lot to the imagination. But whatever they are clearly more powerful than Wen Yu and his Ten Rings, as Ying Li easily makes a fool out of him in this first fight scene. So here's my biggest question in this movie. We know that Tao Lo is basically enchanted and it's inside a pocket dimension that's protected by a dragon. Now, does this in any way give us a tie-in to the city of Kunlun from Iron Fist? I really hope it does, because I cannot wait to see Danny Rand finally in the MCU and away from the Netflix. Now, these flashbacks are so nice, and they are just very clean. They're precise transitions for us to really, you know, get the past and the present, but also at the exact same time. Now, right off the bat, we all know that this is taking place in present day MCU. So we are post blip. That puts us at about, you know, the year 2024, but we see a lot of posters and flyers reminding us about the blip, and they are everywhere if you're really paying attention. What I really wanted to see was something maybe about Steve Rogers' little community group where they were discussing about the blip. I wanted to see how he got that word out, and it would have been cool to incorporate that here. We also have to assume that, you know, Katie and Shang-Chi are probably about 24, 25 years old or so. What's confusing here is that they met in high school, but Katie says she has known Shang-Chi for half his life. I mean, I know that's something that people just say, but we are post-blip. Time really, really matters here, and it has to be precise. What is also incredibly ironic is that Katie's family all lives together and her parents own and operate a convenience store where her siblings work at. Now, what does that sound like? Well, that sounds just like Simu Liu's TV series, Kim's Convenience. Now, this isn't MCU related, but give it a watch if you're looking for something good on Netflix. Okay, let's go ahead and break down this bus scene, because it is so epic and one of the best fight scenes I have seen throughout the MCU movies thus far. First off, our YouTuber, Clev. Do you recognize him from something? Probably you do, most of you might not, but he is the same actor, and assuming he is the same character, from Spider-Man's Homecoming. That's right, he was the street vendor, or as they called him, the meat vendor, that was yelling to, as he said, "Spider Guy, do a backflip!" Now, I know we are doing a breakdown of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, but with this bus scene with Clev, did you know that in that scene from Spider-Man Homecoming, there was another Easter egg as well? The guy with the boombox is none other than Kurt Thatcher. Now, that name isn't going to mean anything to you, but he was an actor and was the former assistant to the late and great Leonard Nimoy, who is actually reprising a role he had in Star Trek IV from 1986. I mean, outfit, costume, everything was identical. The boombox was identical. Now, I have a feeling these two guys are going to start popping up throughout the next range of movies within the MCU. All right, let's get back on track and talk about this fight scene a little bit more, because something looks incredibly familiar here. It's given me really early 90s Jackie Chan vibes, which would only make sense with Michelle Yeoh in the cast. But it's actually because Andy Chang is our choreographer for this movie. That's right, the prominent member of Jackie Chan's stunt team from back in the day. Anyways, this fight really sets the tone for the movie. I could honestly spend all day talking about this, but we have a lot to cover here today. But I will say Florian Muntianu does a great job at introducing Razor Fist to the MCU. Now, we see that Shang-Chi is living out of what looks like to be a garage in California. Now, I'm not sure if he is just renting, you know, this out, or did he get displaced during the blip? Did he blip? I'm not sure. But if you put in the address from the, you know, the postcard that was mailed to him, it shows you a whole bunch of homes on the street that all have these doors headed into a garage. So it's definitely plausible that he might just be living out of it because he was displaced and was blipped. Assuming that Shang-Chi was born around 96 or 97, and he left for America to honor the blood debt, what was it, around 14 or 15 years old, and his dad said that he gave him 10 years. And that this movie does take place around 2023 or 2024, as it is present time in the MCU. The only way this math works is if he actually blipped and was gone for the last 5 years. Okay, so this flashback scene of Shang-Chi's training is so incredibly awesome. Because why? We really finally get to see Death Dealer introduced into the MCU and training Shang-Chi. Now, I thought that Death Dealer would have been a very important character to this movie, and I am still so upset that he basically died right at the start of the big battle in Tao Lo. But let's keep on moving along here, as we do have a lot to cover. We finally make our way to the Golden Dagger Club, and we see some pretty awesome things here. If you pay attention to the smaller cage fights that are going on as they're walking through, we see a widow fighting an extremist soldier, which we can only assume he is still getting his injection since Iron Man 3. Because, I mean, Aldrich Killian is no longer around, so where is he getting them from? That is a big question, but could also be a huge Easter egg. We also get to see Wong and Abomination fighting on the main stage. Now, are they friends? Why are they here? Those are some really big questions that I hope later down the road in Phase 4 we get to understand. I mean, is this where Wong gets his money from? Also, where do they sling Ring off to? As far as Abomination goes, we know from Disney's one-shot, The Consultant, they were talking about how Abomination was considered for the Avengers Initiative. But now, with Banner on his way out, could this be a way of the MCU bringing Abomination back? I guess we are just going to have to wait and see what they do. Now, one thing that was just released this week straight from the MCU. There was a deleted scene that was supposed to have been taken place as a main event at the Golden Dagger. Yes, you guessed right. It was Deadpool, aka Wade Wilson, portrayed by Ryan Reynolds. This would have been his shot to have been introduced into the MCU. He was going to be fighting Proxima Midnight, who was a member of the Black Order, which you might remember her from Infinity War and Endgame. Something to note here, though, is that Tony Stark wiped out everything belonging to Thanos when he had all the stones and made the snap. Yet, she survived. I mean, come on, Marvel. This is another letdown. But at least we know there will be a Deadpool 3 to look forward to, and they better bring him into the MCU. Now, last week, I wanted to play a little game to see if you could guess correctly as to when I was going to bring up Deadpool in this podcast. Well, we did play that game, and we gave you the option of either 5 minutes into the episode, 10 minutes into the episode, 15 minutes into the episode, or 20 minutes into the episode. And it was honestly unanimous that it was going to happen in the 5 minute mark. However, there was only one vote for 10 minutes, and that was Jonathan Vasquez. You can follow him at jonathan.the.trumpet.man. That's right, Jonathan Vasquez. Jonathan the Trumpet Man. Thank you guys so much for playing along with that game. And please follow at Mr. Marvel's Minutes for all the other fun games we're going to be playing throughout these next podcasts. Now, let's talk about Xu Shaolin. And, you know, she's done really well for herself in just a couple years as she has built an entire underground empire here. This is definitely more than most people will do with their 5-year plan. But let me ask you one thing. Are fanny packs making a comeback? Because we have Katie and ABC guy wearing them in the exact same scene. Well, if they are, you are not going to catch me following this trend. Okay, another shout out to Andy Chang, because this fight scene on the bamboo scaffolding is most epic. I mean, he did such a great job here with the choreographing of this fight scene. Heck, all the fight scenes for this movie. Now, I really thought Katie was going to fall off here and die, as I was getting some real, you know, vibes from The Amazing Spider-Man. This could have given our hero arc, as I'm still not really sure what Awkwafina is bringing to this movie other than a little comic relief or perhaps, you know, the love interest to Shang-Chi. However, yet again, we get another awesome scene with Death Dealer. Now, this is not a flashback. This is in the present, and it was just cut way too short. Personally, I just love this character from the comics. Now, with that said, we are going to do a quick breakdown on Death Dealer. As you've already gathered from this movie, he is clearly a high-ranking member of the Ten Rings. But did you know he is also a master martial artist who has also mastered knife combat, staff combat, marksmanship, assassin, acrobat, gymnast, and aerialist? He is also fluent in Mandarin and English. But I bet you had no idea that before he took the mantle of Death Dealer, he was actually an MI6 agent, then turned double agent, and then it gets crazy. You've got to read these comic books, folks. Okay, getting back to the movie breakdown. When Yu is flying everyone back to the compound, we get this great realistic view. And I've got to give a shout out to Digital Domain here. They did an amazing job with the CG visual effects work on this movie. I mean, these are just mountains in New Zealand with nothing on them. And they did all the digital mapping remote, as COVID would not allow them to travel to the location. So you see what you can do or accomplish with just a little bit of ZBrushing and the use of Mantra, Maya, and Redshift. Well, also 28 years of experience. I've got two more little movie magic nuggets here. The second and third rows of the guards that we see are also just CG. And that flying and landing helicopter, well, it was stationary the whole time. Great work to Digital Domain. You guys killed it. Y'all kill everything you do. It's amazing, amazing work. I should really be shouting out to James Cameron here for founding this company back in 1993. Man, I am just geeking out way too much here. I am so sorry. Let's get back to the breakdown. Now, it's really cool to see Xu Shaoling and Shang-Chi's rooms have been completely untouched all these years since the both of them had left home. Now, we get a really great tidbit from Wen Yu here while they are eating what looks like, you know, dinner together about how important names are. And this brings us to yet another Iron Man 3 tie-in. That's right. We all remember our first time the MCU brought us the Ten Rings. That was when Val Kilmer's character, Aldrich Killian, needed a boogeyman to bring the country to its knees and had appropriated the Ten Rings, not knowing who the leader was, instead creating the Mandarin. Now, we will jump back to that name shortly. We get another great flashback here. We finally see Wen Yu, or more of a glimpse of him, as a loving and caring father and not a thousand-year-old warrior king. However, as a descendant of Genghis Khan, I would have not expected to see this side of him. But then again, I'm pretty sure everyone's a descendant of Genghis Khan. I mean, am I wrong? We really get to see how the death of Yang Li drove Wen Yu mad. So much to the point that he picked back up his rings and rebuilt the Ten Rings that we have today. Now, ever since her death, he has been searching for clues as to how to get back into or just to Tao Lo. And when his search starts, this is when he starts hearing Yang Li call for him to rescue her. Now, here's the big problem with this. We know, and it seems like everyone that's not part of the Ten Rings know, this is not her. So, what could it be? Either way, he did finally find that clue that will get him into Tao Lo. It's literally been in front of him this whole time. That's right. It's the emerald pendants that Ying Li gave to both Xu Shaoling and Shang Qi when they were children. Now we understand the postcard Shang Qi got when you wanted them both to be together so he could bring them home at the same time. So we finally see that when the two pendants are together, they make the eyes of the dragon and they reveal the safe passage into Tao Lo. Clearly, this was left for Shang Qi and Xu Zhaoling. But this is another amazing scene with the floating water that then falls and turns into the forest path. However, it disappears way too fast to memorize. In my opinion, I would have never found Tao Lo. But literally within seconds of it disappearing, we finally get to see that warrior king mentality back from Wen Yu, as Shang Qi and Xu Zhaoling try to tell him that it's not a good idea to go to Tao Lo because Wen Yu either wants to get in by being invited or he's going to burn the place down and storm it. So what does Wen Yu do when they try to oppose him? He locks them up in a dungeon. I mean, come on, man. You couldn't have just sent them back to their rooms? Now, we do finally get to hear the voice of Ying Li comforting Wen Yu. And you know what? This almost had me believing it was her. It was so creepy and realistic. Let's just talk about this dungeon scene for a minute. When you hear weird noises or literally any sounds when you're at home by yourself, you freak out. But these people are literally in a dungeon of a 1,000-year-old warlord. I'd be freaking out, but hell, they're just gonna go check it out like it's nothing. I certainly did not expect for them to find Ben Kingsley's Trevor Slattery in this dungeon. That's right, the Mandarin from Iron Man 3. Now, after Marvel's one-shot, All Hail the King, a member of the Ten Rings, yes, the real Ten Rings, breaks him out of prison. So one would only hope to see him pop back up somewhere within the MCU later down the road. And honestly, it would only make sense for that spot to be in the dungeon of the Ten Rings. I guess he's just been living here and been their source of entertainment ever since. Okay, what is this little creature that he's named Morris? It seems like everyone is going the route of having a baby Yoda-ish type of character these days. It's getting a little ridiculous. But apparently this six-legged, headless, faceless, winged, furry creature is a key character in this movie as he can navigate the forest and get our characters into Tao Lo. All right, at this point, we are only an hour into this 2-hour long movie. So we will wrap up this breakdown with part 2 next weekend. So make sure you are following us on Spotify and click that little bell so you get notified when we release a new episode. One thing is clear here. Marvel Studios has certainly found its new hero, and that is Shang-Chi. All right, it's now time for our weekly rumors and news from around the MCU. It looks like Marvel has finally given us a list of the new projects that we can expect to see Elizabeth Olsen's Scarlet Witch appear in. They are going to be the Scarlet Witch Trilogy, Agatha House of Harkness, I Am Groot, and Avengers Secret Wars Part 1 and 2. we can now confirm that Elizabeth Olsen will be a very important character throughout Phase 4 and could possibly carry us into Phase 5. This would make sense as Marvel would be releasing the new generation of the Avengers, which one can only assume we will get a few smaller teams that will eventually give us one main team for Avengers 5. For some Disney Plus news, we are just 18 days away from the release of Moon Knight, and I cannot wait. March 30th is going to be amazing. We also have it confirmed that Ms. Marvel, no relation, is set to arrive this summer, which would be pushing She-Hulk back towards the end of the year for a release date. However, Disney Plus did say that Ms. Marvel could be released in June. My only concern here is we also have the release of Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus at the end of May. Now, clearly, these two shows cannot overlap, meaning we'd be looking at an end of July, early August release date for Ms. Marvel. The big news coming out of the MCU this week. After making an appearance in the Disney Plus series Loki last year, this character has snapped up a new gig. That's right. Alligator Loki is becoming the star of his own comic book. It will be a 12-part issue, which you can pick up exclusively on the Marvel Unlimited app today, releasing every other Friday. Now for some sad news in the MCU. It does not look like we will get a teaser trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder anytime soon. You ask why? Well, because not only are they not done with the movie, they are headed back into reshoots this week. Hopefully, we will get something soon. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you are following us on Spotify and Instagram at Mr. Marvel's Minutes to stay up to date on new episode releases and our daily Instagram polls. On our next episode, we will wrap up this breakdown of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Mr. Marvel's Minutes is brought to you by Crafts by Spooky Blonde, where it's spooky, but with some pixie dust. Just search Etsy for Crafts by Spooky Blonde. You can also become a Patreon to help us keep the mic on.